We're looking for people who have been blessed by this free podcast and our free daily marriage prayer emails and who want to help be a blessing to others. Creating and hosting this podcast and sending out our daily emails do incur a financial cost. And we want to invite you to join our faithful patron team to help financially support these resources so that they can remain free for all who need them. Please join our patron team today and become one of the faithful financial supporters who desires to help bless thousands of marriages around the world. Your support will help us pay for the creation, hosting, and promotion of our podcast and daily emails. Thank you, and we hope to see you become a Marriage After God patron. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Marriage After God podcast. Today's conversation is with Troy and Chantel Brooks. They're the founders of We Are Spartners. What's awesome about the name Spartners is it's a mixture of spouse and partners. They love talking to marriages about working together, being partners together in a business. And so we talk a lot about that. But the main theme that you're going to see in this episode, in this conversation that I have with this lovely couple who love God, is that they stopped finding their value. They stopped finding their identity in what they were doing and what money they were making and where they lived and what status they had. And they started finding it in Jesus Christ. And after they started doing that, God started to shift and guide and direct them into what they're doing now. And so I just hope that you enjoy this conversation I have with Troy and Chantel Brooks. It's an awesome one. And I pray that it encourages you to draw closer to God and closer to each other and to recognize that your identity is in Him and Him alone. Hey, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jennifer.
And we're the hosts of the Marriage After God podcast. Our desire is to help you cultivate a marriage that chases boldly after God's will for your life together.
We want to invite you to subscribe to our show wherever you watch or listen.
We are so glad you're here, and we pray that our discussion truly blesses you and your marriage.
Welcome to the Marriage After God podcast.
Troy and Chantel Brooks, welcome to the Marriage After God podcast. I'm so glad to have you guys.
Aaron, thanks for having us, man. We are excited to be here.
Yeah, I think the most appropriate spot to start would be to allow yourselves to introduce who you are and a little bit of your background story and your marriage and how many kids and what you guys do so that my audience can get a little bit of background on you guys.
Want to kick it off?
Sure. So we are Team Brooks, aka Spartners, spouses who are business partners. Yeah.
I like that name, by the way.
Thank you. God definitely blessed this guy with it. I'm sure we'll talk more about that. So we are childhood friends. We met in middle school or junior high school back in New York. Mm-hmm. And we have been friends since. We each had our own individual journeys, both in our faith walk, in our personal lives, professional lives. 10 years ago, we got married. Mm-hmm, we were just friends, and you know, we're just friends for a long time. Yeah. In our late 20s, we reconnected, got married, and we have two children, Sage and Phoenix, a little puppy dog. But she's a little miniature schnauzer. And we are in both the ministry and marketplace space.
Yeah.
We do have our business, The TB Effect. We are content creators.
Yep.
We've been able to partner with brands worldwide, leveraging our platforms, our lifestyle, our family, to truly help brands tell stories about whatever it is that they have, as well as just bring our faith to life. And so we've been able to make more than $500,000 in our content creation business and brand partnership deals. Yeah. And then we also have Spartners, which is our ministry.
It's our baby. It's our ministry.
Yeah, our ministry business. Yep. And that is where we work with couples and connect couples who are really curious about trying to do it together, work together, ministry life together, and they just don't quite know how. We help equip them with tools. We are authors. We just released our first book, Spartners, Discover the Value.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Discover the value in your spouse's business partner and enrich your marriage this in summer of 2024.
Yeah.
And most recently, we are
pastors.
Yeah, we are pastors. It's still new to say.
Yeah, I'm a guest experience pastor at Hope Church. I'm a guest experience pastor at Hope Experience Church, and she is an associate pastor of discipleship, formation,
next steps,
all communications.
Yeah.
So, wow. It's been beautiful.
Yep. You guys got a lot going on.
We do. Men's ministry, women's ministry stuff going on. So we're excited. We love to serve the Lord. And we've just been so grateful about, grateful for how God has just used us as vessels, our marriage as a vessel to truly help enrich and empower and bring the word and the gospel to other people.
Yeah. I just say, like, when you hear all this, when the audience hears all of this, all the things we're doing, it's like we're in a season where we're not new believers, so to speak. We've had, you know, years in the church and doing things, but God has truly just renewed us and we are just on fire. So we're doing all these things because we're on fire for the Lord and we're on fire to let people know about his grace, his mercy, and the gift of salvation and how amazing it is to seek him and how everything in your life will be whole and you will feel full. And any void is voids that people are just trying to fill with all the junk and all the things that society is pushing. Nothing can fill that void like the love of Christ. And we just want to point people in his direction. So we're on fire.
I love that. This is going to be a great conversation because especially every time there's like recessions, you know, inflation goes, it gets out of hand, money gets tight, paychecks get tight, all these things. This is when people become entrepreneurs. This is when people are like, how do we get a little bit extra income? So it'll be good to talk about this because I'm sure there's a lot of my listeners that are trying to figure this out, they have their 9-to-5s. And they're trying to do something together or even separately, but, you know, bring in a little extra income. So it'll be interesting to talk about some of this business aspect of things that you guys are doing, which I'm assuming it didn't, like you just said a lot of things. It didn't start that way. They didn't start with like you had all of this stuff. No. It was probably littler steps, I would imagine, in the beginning. But before we get into that stuff, I just want to, it's pretty amazing. It's rare these days to find people that not only have been married 10 years, that's sad to say, but that's a rarity these days for marriages to get that far. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
But you also knew each other from childhood. Was that from school, from family? Like how did you guys know each other? I just want to ask about that.
Yeah, junior high school, Parsons Junior High School. Woo, woo.
Wow.
Shout out to Queens, New York. Yeah. We've been friends since that time. That's how we got to know each other. That's how great God is, that he divinely orchestrated that. And we are able to look at where we are now and even just point back to how he's kind of had his hands on us and our marriage and has been anointing it even far before we knew, because we didn't like each other. I thought she was always beautiful, but she was taller than me. You don't even think about it. It just wasn't a thing.
Is she still taller than you?
No, I got her. got her. If she puts on the right heels, she's a little taller than me. And I'm okay with that because then I got my supermodel wife. So it's awesome to have all of that. But that's when God put us together and we just grew and maintained keeping in touch for years and years to come. And then I want you to tell this part of the story. She tells our love story really well.
So, and I'll try to make it quick. We both were friends for a long time. And he was involved in party promotions, for New York City nightlife and used to always invite me. I was definitely your party girl. You could catch me out on the weekends. So he used to invite me and I'd always just like say, oh, next time, or just brush it off. And then one day, the emails stopped coming, or the chats or whatever they were called back then. And a friend said, hey, like I ran into Troy in LA. And so I was like, man, I haven't seen him in a while. So I started to like Facebook stalk him to see what was going on in his life. And I saw that there were no other women that was in his life, that he was a man of God, that he was serving at his church, that he was into fitness and also coaching in the fitness space, that he also just loved to have a really good time, go out to eat and just enjoy life with friends. And I said, I'm seeing something different on him. So
Come on, God.
So I asked him to train me. I did not need a trainer.
She definitely didn't need a trainer.
I said, hey, why not? You know. So he started to train me, and in our first training session is where we saw that I was no longer taller than him. So I was like, whoa, okay.
Come on.
And, you got to him through his business. I like it.
And by our second session, which he never did this with any other client, just to be clear.
Just to be completely clear.
But we started dating And literally 9 months later, we were engaged to be married. And I think I know that the friendship that we had from our childhood is one of the top reasons that we felt so okay with leaning into Holy Spirit to say, yes, this is the guy, this is the girl. And and to be fully transparent, you know, we each have our own individual faith walks. For me, I was definitely newer into my faith starting like early 20s. And so I didn't have at this age of getting engaged, I did not have the language. I did not have the intimacy. I did not have the knowledge, the wisdom that I now have. And so when I first looked at marriage, I just equated it to like what my parents had. They're still married almost 50 years. Like, it's great. But I didn't really know the spiritual aspect, but I knew that, but I felt something in me that just said, you know what, this is your husband. Like, there's no doubts about it.
But his relationship with the Lord was something that attracted you to him.
Exactly.
Even kind of like in the midst of you.
Yeah, because I was always seeking. I was seeking God. I got baptized in my early 20s. Yeah. And so I wanted a man who was also involved in church and enjoyed serving people and had a heart that was spirit led. And so so I knew that much. that was definitely very captivating for me.
And I was like she said, like I want to be completely transparent with everyone. Like I was a nightlife guy. I was in the clubs. There were bottles, women, all the things. I was in peak shape in my life when we first got together, and I was training her. I was training her on Valentine's Day because I didn't want to take any of the five girls that I was dating out to dinner.
Oh, no.
Like, that's to be completely honest with you. This is like, I know I wanted to be with someone, but I was doing the process of elimination. I was dating. Everyone knew about everyone. It was like, hey, I'm trying to find someone to be with. So I'm dating. And are you okay with that? So that's a gem. I was telling people, I was very transparent about where I was. But, you know, when we started to date, it just God shifted something in me that led me to know, like, this is the person that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. So I had to have some hard conversations, but all is fair in love and war. And, you know, if it wasn't for God's grace, I wouldn't have done it. We wouldn't be here today. But again, just a testament to what he's been able to do in us and through us. We were young, we were wild. I was in church, I was serving, I was doing all the things. But again, even then I was baptized. I made an adult decision to get baptized, but I wasn't truly seeking God's face, his presence. I wasn't spending time intimately with him on that level to truly know him and be known by him. I was kind of just one foot in, one foot out with my faith. Like, I married her, you know, in my eyes, she's beautiful. I'm ready to settle down. I want to change my life. I'm looking for commitment, long time. Like, it wasn't understanding biblically what our marriage is. It wasn't understanding the covenant of marriage. It wasn't understanding that through our marriage and we can serve God's kingdom. We can be a model, like understanding that for some people, this will be the only Bible they'll ever read. So when we think about moving and trying to be Christ-like, it's how we do that. You know, I had no understanding of any of that.
Yeah.
So your story is similar in some aspects. Yours, we started a little early, me and my wife. I was in a season also where I was like, I'm not, you know, interested in like, you know, actual deep relationships, but I'm like, I'm going to just spend some time. I'm going to get to know some people, some girls, and cause you have to give some time, you know, you gotta absolutely. Like get to know them. You gotta see their personalities and ask them questions and I was doing that. And I was also friends with my wife at the time. We weren't married, of course, at the time, but I was friends with her at the time, and I wasn't interested in her in that way. Mm-hmm. But each one of those other women I was, you know, pursuing and talking to and interested in, it's like the Lord was like turning off the switch. It's like, no.
Yeah.
Then it was like with my wife, he like turned it on. I was like, wait, I didn't even see you this way before. And now I'm done. I'm done with everything. I don't need to look for anyone else. And so that's pretty cool to hear how, you know, when we have eyes open and we're ready at that whole thing you just said, that we're like, I'm ready to commit. Like, I'm looking for a wife, not a girlfriend, not a fling. And then you found her, and it's so cool that it's a woman that you knew since you were in junior high. That's so rare. I just saw that. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but on social media, I saw this animated chart. It was pretty depressing, actually, but it was very interesting. It was showing from like 1950s until 2024 of like how people met their spouses. Mm-hmm. And like the top one by far was like family and friends. Like that's how you met your spouse. Mm-hmm. Everything else was like almost nothing. And then by today, it's like online. No one meets anyone through their friend circles. No one meets anyone through their family circles, church circles, none of that. It's just online, which is kind of sad. Because when I hear a story like this, this is how people used to connect was through friends and family and relationships.
Nothing
of people.
Yeah.
And affinity, the affinity of like real relationships, real people.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you get married. Sounds like both of you are believers on some level, but just like you said, one foot out, one foot in. Yeah. Many believers are probably in that place. Kind of this term of like nominal Christian, like you believe in God, you go to church, you have a relationship with him, but you haven't like fully surrendered. Mm-hmm. You haven't fully stepped in and said, okay, Lord, what am I doing? Who am I? Who are you? But I'm assuming that transition happened at some point after you guys got married. Can you explain a little bit of that dynamics of putting, you know, jumping all in? What was that like?
Sure. So yes. For us, I think that like we, for the first part of our marriage, we really wanted to be good Christians, like do the right thing.
The quote unquote good Christian.
So we went to church. We prayed, you know, every now and then. Mm-hmm. Troy's heart is so hospitable and giving. Like, so we were seeing the fruits of the Spirit. We had the fruits of the Spirit. We were living in the Spirit, but we didn't know we were. Like, it was just who we were, but we didn't, again, have the language or know. And so when we had children, we would, again, you know, talk about Jesus as best as we could, as far as like what we do. Again, we thought it was more like performance oriented, and we were really missing the relational component, the real intimacy. And a couple of years ago, we went to a worship conference, and that night, the first night of the worship conference, it was an amazing experience. Yeah. Second day of the conference, we had to divide. He got to go. I had to stay with the kids. But we were able to experience it. And by the end of the weekend, we both were in tears, feeling so guilty, so shameful, so like, I hate to use the word like dirty, but angry with ourselves for being so frivolous because we were making really great income and just out here living our best lives, but tithing like $50 a week was like, we were killing it. When we were making way more than that.
If you're putting $50 on auto pay and you're having $50,000 months, that ain't tithing. That ain't tithing the right way.
Yeah. So it was horrible, but we didn't like know better. But all of a sudden, all of a sudden after this weekend, we just realized how we need to like surrender and become truly obedient to God and ask him to guide us and ask him to remove the things that were weighing us down and to reveal the things that that we really need to see. And that was him, that we need to stop placing our value into our things, into our credentials, into our perfectionism, into our obsessions, into our friends, into our whatever. We need to stop placing our value into all the idols that were really pulling us away from him. And we need to find and stand firm in our identity in Christ. And so once that weekend, we were just again like, and that Monday, we were
literally nauseous. If anyone knows what this
it was horrible
like,
and beautiful at the same time.
We were literally like mouth watering, nauseous. And like she said, just all of our value was in such worldly possessions, literally idols. For me, it was like watches. If I put on these fancy watches, like I'm awesome. And I like my value was in all these things. And I kept buying things and getting things, trying to fill this gaping void inside of me. You know, when I lost over 100 pounds, I got the abs. I thought once I got the abs, I'd be happy. Mm-hmm. I wasn't happy. I had abs and I was still broken. We started making money. I thought that'd be happy. The cars, the things, all the things. And none of those things filled this void. It was only till we had this radical encounter with God that literally brought us to our knees that we were like, okay, this is what it's about. Lord, we fully surrender to you. And again, it's not, nothing is wrong with any of these things. Having things is not the problem, but when the things have you, when there's a stronghold, yep, that's the danger. Mm-hmm. And we've lived a life full of, hey, we've had it all, y'all. And guess what? It's not everything. That what you're chasing is dangerous. But if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all, yep, of the things will be given to you. So a lot of the things that we thought were great, that were a stronghold, God has given them back to us because now we won't mismanage. Mm-hmm. Now we know how to steward properly. Now we know who our source is. And mm-hmm, that is what we want people to know, you know?
And I just want to add something, yeah, real quickly about how merciful, yeah, Jesus is that we didn't just like walk into a random church one day. We're New York City natives. Yeah. We lived in New York for, yeah, forever. Mm-hmm. The summer before this all went down, we were supposed to close on a house in Connecticut. Yep. It fell through 2 days before our closing date. I was 8 months pregnant. We, yep, were 8 months pregnant. Yep.
They had our money.
And we also had to get out of the place we were living in. Long, mm-hmm, story short, God made it very clear that we needed to move to Metro Atlanta, which, yeah, is where we currently reside. Yep. And we're like, okay. So 2 days later, he went. And again, we didn't have this relationship with, yeah, Jesus at this time, but yet, yeah, he made sure we heard him, yeah, say like, go to Atlanta. It was, yep, very like, it was wild.
So clear.
So he went. Put an, yeah, offer on a home. This is in middle of the COVID pandemic where, yeah, people were just crazy with their offers. We were not. We were faithful buyers, yeah, not competitive ones. But we ended up getting a beautiful house. We, yeah, moved here and then found a church that we truly, yeah, found a home in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then God started working on us through like even their announcements at, yeah, church. We were just like, they were talking about tithing and we're like, man,
yeah,
we need to tithe better. Then they were, yep, talking about like God's, you know, just all, yeah, the things that God's doing, yeah, and just announcements. And, yeah, we're like, man, yeah, we want that.
Yeah.
And so, mm, now come, yeah, worship conference weekend, we walk in and God was already mixing, like already stirring us. He had to isolate us from, yeah, where we were so comfortable in. We had, yeah, community and friends, yeah, and family. I mean, not to put quotation on friends and family, yeah, because they are, yeah, but it was too much of a distraction for what God needed from us. So we truly needed, yeah, to leave.
Yeah. 800 miles away from everybody.
And once we left, you know? Yeah, because we didn't move to be with family and friends. Yeah. Like no one was out here.
We moved here 8 months pregnant with another baby that, you know, one that was already here, one baking in the oven, no friends, no family, 800 miles away.
Yeah.
And only God.
So I want to just make that note because, yeah, for people who are listening who feel like they are teetering or they have two, you know, one foot on one row, one foot on the, yeah, other, if they feel their spirit is calling them to move, to go, yeah, whatever that go is, it doesn't have to be 900 miles away,
yeah,
but to go or to get into some discomfort, mm-hmm, I encourage them to continue to pray on it, yeah, and take that step of faith.
Yeah.
Walk by faith, not by sight, because sometimes,
yeah,
the best way we grow is through discomfort,
yeah,
and we need to be isolated,
yeah,
in order to truly hear what God is saying and calling us to do.
Well, often we only grow in discomfort. Absolutely. We actually in comfort, yeah, is, yeah, when we it's when we get stagnant, yeah, and our, right, like just biologically our muscles get flabby and
atrophy
kicks,
absolutely,
in. Well, I love about what you're talking about is it highlights the beauty of, you know, you say we didn't have this relationship with the Lord at this moment, but you did have a relationship with the Lord that was him working in you, whether you recognized it, whether you were perfectly faithful to it, you know, that God's put his Holy Spirit in us. And what you're talking about is a journey of maturity. You know, every believer's got, there's these levels that we get to. And just because I'm image, like my children, like they're my children. They're not adults yet, but they're my children. Mm-hmm. And the level of understanding that they have in our relationship is going to mature over time as they recognize things. And then you become an adult and, yeah, you look back and you're like, man, my parents were right.
Yep.
You know, and you, yep, look back at those things.
Absolutely.
And I see that evident in your story is that, yeah, that Holy Spirit continuing to work on you because you're legitimate children of his.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says he disciplines those he loves, and that's evidence of our ownership, that of his ownership of us, mm-hmm, that his Holy Spirit's in us. Yeah. And so he was working in you, even though you, excuse me, may not have been faithful in certain areas or listening in certain areas. But he was still moving. And so you hear those little voice, that still small voice in you were obedient to it. And then I also loved, and I just wanted to highlight this, that that sorrow you were talking about, that grieving you were talking about, that, you know, you said you called it shame and guilt, which that happens sometimes because when we get confronted with sin, idolatry, you're talking about idolatry, like, you know, these things in your life that you had Jesus and, you know, I have all these things. So here's our identity over here. And we sprinkle Jesus on top of all of it. Yeah. But in 2 Corinthians 7:10, it says, "For godly grief produces repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death." Mm-hmm. You guys weren't experiencing worldly grief. You know, this grief of like, oh, woe is me. I'm, you know, just terrible and nothing and trash. No, you felt like, oh, what am I doing? I have this Savior and he has something better for me. Why am I holding these idols? Why are we worshiping these other things? Yeah. And that's what the Holy Spirit's ministry is. And I'm reiterating these things for our listeners to recognize what the Holy Spirit's doing in your life, because I don't want them to compare their life, their story to your story, or that, you know, their you know, mile one to your mile five. Yeah. But to listen to the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, are you trying to move me somewhere? Maybe not locationally, but spiritually, like, are you trying to move me to the next step? Are you trying to get me to surrender areas of my life? And that's literally, as the Bible puts it, as Paul puts it, it's the circumcision of Christ. It's Christ coming in and he loves you along the whole way. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, here's the next thing here's the next room of your life I want to enter into. And because he doesn't do it all at once. He's a gentleman and he takes time. And
imagine if he did.
To be honest, sometimes we wouldn't even be able to see it. Oh my gosh, my table's moving. Look at that.
That's cool. That's cool.
There we go. And I don't know. I just wanted to highlight that.
Yeah.
The idea of that the Holy Spirit was moving in your life and you were being sensitive to it because you're his children. And that's what we're to do as Christians, is to not grieve the Holy Spirit, but to listen and surrender. Yeah. And that's something also that we need to get better at over time. Over time is getting better at listening to the Holy Spirit. We're looking for people who have been blessed by this free podcast and our free daily marriage prayer emails and who want to help be a blessing to others. Creating and hosting this podcast and sending out our daily emails do incur a financial cost. And we want to invite you to join our faithful patron team to help financially support these resources so that they can remain free for all who need them. Please join our patron team today and become one of the faithful financial supporters who desires to help bless thousands of marriages around the world. Your support will help us pay for the creation, hosting, and promotion of our podcast and daily emails. Thank you, and we hope to see you become a Marriage After God patron. So, absolutely. That was great.
Since we have been on fire for God, we have walked so boldly in our faith. We say it's super evident when you look at our social media pages, specifically Troy's, because he's been the most public for the longest, and that is where our business platform stands. Yeah. As creators, prior to this encounter, you can see we were 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Like, we never hid that we were believers, but we definitely weren't proclaiming it from the rooftops. Yeah. And now when you look at our page, specifically again, Troy's, it's like, oh yeah, these are like, you know, like, we even
Your faith was like a sub note, right? Like, it was like
we kind of even get like, they're the religious people kind of stuff sometimes. And of course, that's not what it's about at all, but we're putting that much of our spiritual journey out there that those that don't understand this relationship with Christ are looking at it like that, because we're just that, it's that noticeable now. We are not hiding. We're not shying away. We are doing our best to give him all the glory for everything we have and just be so thankful. And before, you know, it's like, you look back and you're like, man, this was self-righteousness in its highest level. Cause, you know, as an entrepreneur, I'd say things like, man, I'm self-made. I did this from the bottom. Like, I got it from the mud. And it's like, if you even look at anyone, even if you don't have that spiritual anchoring, no one is self-made. Even if you started a business, someone has to approve the loan for the startup. Someone has to fund. Capital comes from somewhere. Like, it's never just you. But in our selfishness, we say things like that. But it's not. So, like, for us, it was like, man, we literally are out here taking all this credit, but again, he's had his hand on us all this time. I can't afford to be 1 foot in, 1 foot out anymore when I'm this blessed and I know it. Mm-hmm. And I know the source of the blessing. Mm-hmm. I can't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm. And it really started showing up through our book. We had started writing Spartners before this encounter, and it was very like self-fulfilling. And then post-encounter, mm-hmm. we had to like revise it and put in all of the scripture that was really grounding our text. So we're like, okay, we keep like circling, like beating around the bush, like just say Jesus, you know, stop saying like other things. Because we're very like warm, trying to like, you know,
don't know.
Reach everybody. And so now we're like, no, we're speaking to believers.
We're speaking to believers.
And people who are curious about Jesus, like, yes, this is for you too. But but it's been so amazing because literally since we, since we said yes, gave God our full yes, and fully surrendered, since that day, God has just done such amazing things in our lives. And that's what brought us to even being real Spartners full time. That's what brought us our ministry. That's what brought us this on this servant journey. It's like our pre and post. It's so night and day different.
Well, this is a good spot to transition to that next question I had for you guys, because you guys work together. Troy, you've been an entrepreneur for sounds like ever. And then Chantel, you come into the picture. You guys have an encounter with Christ. And it sounds like you were already starting to work together before then.
Yeah.
And then God's transforming your business perspective to like, wait, we're going to do this business, but we want to do this for Christ. Yeah. Just like you wanted to do your marriage for Christ.
Right.
What was that transition like? You know, what caused you guys to come together and say, we're going to start working together? And then what was some of the challenges that came from doing that?
Well, I'll take this one on. So just so we know, I'm the one that has been nagging Chantel to work with me, and never to work for me, but to work with me. I was running a successful fitness at that time, 2019. I was best fitness instructor in New York City, all that stuff, great shape. Building a social media platform through fitness and getting brand endorsements and deals and things like that, but didn't really want to get pigeonholed and marginalized as just being the fitness guy. I also think a lot of the fitness content out there gets boring. It's only so many deadlifts and how to fix your kettlebell swing videos I can do. It's like, what are you outside of just in the gym? So I wanted to focus on lifestyle, other stuff, like how things in the gym, you know, kind of carry over into who you are outside the gym. Then I became a dad. So here's how to stay functional, fit to be a dad, how to be around with your kids and not just be the guy sitting on the iPad in the park while your kids are playing around. You know, just incorporating more lifestyle elements and not just being blocked in. Like, I wanted to show the world the wholeness of who I am as a father, and especially being a Black father. I wanted to make sure that I was putting out a representation of what it is to be a father and break some of the stereotypical stuff that's out there and shatter some of these stigmas. And our marriage, I wanted it to be this thing that's like, hey, the white picket fence home, which you think of a family, can also look like this. So we just, that was like the change in direction. And we started getting more deals. And, you know, Chantel was an assistant principal, the breadwinner in our family, high six figure earner. She was our security. I was the wild card entrepreneur. And, you know, she was never thought like, I'd leave this thing for this. Like, she thought my career was a little bit of a joke until it started to, you know, you're always on your phone. Like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm doing stuff. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was helping me with one deal one day. And I was like, look at these camera angles. Look at the amazing stuff that you've done. Like, if we work together, this can be amazing. Mm. And at this point, like, you know, career shift for her. We're down here. We're making enough money to come down here off of what I'm doing. It's starting to get serious. But she's at that point wanting to do all the things. She still comes down here like, I'm going to figure out my own thing. I'm not joining you. I'm going to be a doula or a trainer or a vending machine owner or the other 10,000 things. God help me that I had to allow her to explore before she decided to join me. And when she joined me, I'll let her tell this story because I love eating up every moment of her realizing that realization moment of being a content creator and owning that business is so much more than just setting up your tripod, taking photos and videos and texting people. So
Yeah. So like, just to be clear, I was in education for 15 years doing a whole sort of things. And God made it very clear to me that that was no longer the season he needed me to serve in.
Yeah.
Again, I didn't have like the language, the relationship, but that stirring of the spirit, it's like, okay, I can't fight this anymore. And he made it so, he made it so clear that it was time to go. So when we moved down here, I again was all about like me, like, okay, well, okay, if he took me out, like, God, what do you want me to do? So I'm praying, I'm reading all these purpose-driven life books. I'm just like meditating. I'm like starting to freak out a bit because I'm giving myself a timeline. I can't be like not working for a year. So we gave ourselves, well, I gave me a timeline. Yeah. And he's just like, work with me, work with me. I'm like, no, I'm going to do my mommy blog. Work with me, work with me. No, I'm going to be my own influencer. Work with me, work with me. Like, no, I'm going to. And one day I'm sitting trying to do my thing. And I realize, and I look over and I see him playing with our little one, our baby. And I'm like, man, like, this is kind of the same thing as what we've been experiencing the last 10, like, well, I don't even know how many years. But however, all these other years that we've had kids, it's divide and conquer. It's me and my silo, him and his, us taking turns, shifting. Okay, now it's your turn to be with the baby. Now it's my turn to be with the baby. So you could do your work. Okay, I got this meeting. Well, then I have this meeting. And and I just had this overwhelming feeling and thought and revelation that, like, this is not what you're supposed to be doing. There's no longer, I can't no longer just, like, have it be me and my thing. It needs to be our thing. So so I told him, I said, you know what? Let's give this a shot. I'll work with you. And wow, it was really amazing because I mentioned Nothing Wasted before. But when I was a child, I studied TV and radio production and got really good. Like, I loved production. I loved taking videos, pictures. I love editing.
You did this as a child?
I went to an awesome magnet school in elementary New York. It was awesome. And then studied it in undergrad before I shifted to education. But
nothing wasted.
But it brought back, when we talk about this in our book, it reignited the passion that and that I had as a kid. And I know
there was
that,
something,
like,
there was something dormant down there that
exactly.
Yeah, whoa.
And I came to life and I was like, ooh, this feels good. And then I also had to apologize to him because I like when I worked, it was so clear. I would have my work papers and like pencils and computers. When he worked, he was just on his phone. And as he said, I really just didn't respect the hustle or the work. And now that I was on it, doing it with him, I had to apologize and say, like, wow, I'm so sorry. And my appreciation for what he had to do from start to finish of a campaign, to negotiating, to pitching, to looking at contracts, like not the fun stuff that you see front end, but all the back stuff is like 90% of the work. And so,
I do all that. I get it.
Exactly. You get it. And I didn't know. And so, so it just really built such a love, appreciation, and appreciation for him and what he's done. And now also for what we do.
Shintai, were you?
Yeah, man, I still love to hear it because she thought content creation was a joke, man. And then she now that she's in it. And another thing that I'll say is that I wanted her to work with me because I was lonely, man. Like, I don't know about you, but I don't know, you know, most of my friends work 9-to-5 traditional jobs. Like, they don't have the autonomy that I have to just go have lunch whenever I want or pick up the phone whenever I want. So it's like being able to get with people in the middle of the day, do things, like, you're just lonely. And a lot of people, just like Chantel, didn't understand or respect what I was doing professionally. And you feel alone. You feel lonely. You know, I don't have a bunch of content creator friends. So when she joined me and, you know, we're negotiating contracts together, we're going over stuff, we're strategizing campaigns, we're having meetings, we're going out. We had this outdoor office that we created where we're hanging out and having business meetings, setting up our hotspot in random beautiful places. We're having awesome Mexican rooftop restaurant lunches, just doing things together that just felt amazing that we would have never been able to do.
You didn't just gain a partner, you gained a friend.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Reignited. You know, the friendship is there, but when she was working her job and, you know, I was doing my thing, she spent more time at her office with people that are getting to know my wife better than me, you know, which is why we have the t-shirt, my work wife is my real wife, or my work husband is my real husband, because, like, Amen. Now I get the ability to spend time with my best friend. And over the years, we've been able to peel back layers and truly get to know each other the way we feel God has intended. We spend the most time together. I know her strengths. I know her areas of opportunity. The same for me. And now we've built this strong chemistry and dynamic that doesn't just work well within our work environment, but a lot of the things that we do in business have carry over to how we lead in our home, mm-hmm. how we communicate effectively here, how we strategize, mm-hmm. how we visioneer, how we parent our children. The same way we have business meetings, we have family meetings. The same way we have, you know, mm-hmm. call times, we have dedicated prayer times on the count. Like, we have things, like, we move with structure and organization and organizationally, you know, and we model, you know, some of the best organizations in the world. Not, you know, people like, you want to run your marriage like a business? Yeah. Why do you think that's a bad thing?
It's just some parts of it, for sure.
What models are you following, you know?
And God has just been so gracious to us again, because he's really allowed our time of working together to almost be like an expedited way of getting to be closer to one. Yeah. You know, like, we're all about really becoming one with your spouse. And if you both are working doing your own thing all day for most of the week, then like, is it possible for you to have a strong relationship? Absolutely. Can you learn how to resolve your conflicts more efficiently? For sure. You know, like, will your intimacy build stronger, a strong connection over time? Yes. But when you work with your spouse, it's like on an accelerated mode, right? Yeah. And for us, I say God's been so gracious to us because he's really allowed all this time that we have with each other to really strip away at our egos, to strip away at still the idols that we were still fighting to let go of, to strip away of the false narratives that we've been telling ourselves about ourselves, to strip away from the baggage that we had from the triggers and the traumas that we had from working with others or just working in different experiences and atmospheres. And so we've had to really deal with a lot of conflicts. I know you mentioned something about how was that? Was it easy? You didn't say easy, but we didn't just jump into having all these awesome Mexican meetings. Mexican restaurant meetings. It took time. But because we are both so focused on Jesus, we knew that what he was doing within us was necessary.
Absolutely.
And so before, when I was the passive aggressive arguer, when I was the one who would just be like, I don't want to talk about this, and just be gone to avoid it. I now am like, okay, I gotta sit here and listen and communicate. Yeah. I have to share how I feel because we not only have to do this because I know God has this call on our marriage. We have an assignment, but also we have a project due. We gotta get this done.
And so
it's helpful. It was very helpful for us to be able to leverage and optimize both of these worlds of we know we need to do this for Jesus, and the worldly thing of you have to fulfill a deadline also helped us work through it and let go of the things that didn't matter.
So easy.
Yeah, I just want to point out to all my listeners, because there's probably a bunch of them that don't work together. That, you know, they either one's a stay-at-home mom or dad, and then you have you know, or maybe they both have 9-to-5 jobs.
Yeah.
But what you're talking about is exactly the point of our marriages. Is so you could have separate jobs, but you still have to come together, and everything you're talking about is the thing that we should be pursuing, that unity, that oneness, instead of I have my thing, you have your thing, and then sometimes we come together for things that we have together. No. This is our life together. Yeah. We are one. Yeah. And everything you're talking about, that expedition, you know, coming together to work together.
Yeah.
It reminds me of my wife and I, when we first got married, months after we got married, we went to Africa to be missionaries for 4 months. And we literally slept in a 4-man tent for 4 months. And I always tell people that you grow 3 years of marriage in 4 months. You go sleep in a tent with your spouse right away.
Yeah.
And you'll have 3 years experience conversations, arguments, disagreements. But what you're saying, you come together to work together, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, we got to there's some things we got to work on, how we communicate. Yeah. We got to work on how we, you know, negotiate together. We need to work on how, you know, we solve these problems. But that's so true. Chantel, I just had a question for you because I would imagine it was a very difficult thing to transition, to make that choice, to step away from who Chantel is. You know, this is my identity. I am this educator. I am the breadwinner. I am all these things. You said so many things about what you were pursuing, which were all commendable and like amazing things to accomplish. But you felt the Holy Spirit saying, it's time to change what you've identified as, right?
Yes.
Was that a painful process? Did it feel like you were in some ways losing something to transition to what you are now?
Yeah, what a great question. Actually talk about this too, because so many people, women specifically, can feel like they're losing a piece of their identity or what they're supposed to be doing to just like surrender and be submissive to their husband and just help them do what they want to do. And like, my time will come. So for me, I was anxious prior to committing. I definitely was worried that I would be losing a part of me, and that I'd be missing the mark on my purpose of life. I put so much pressure on like this season. I didn't see life as seasons. I saw like, this is the one thing I'm supposed to do forever. But once I allowed Holy Spirit to truly like reveal to me that my identity is within Him, and in my identity of Christ, I know that I've been assigned to Troy and Him assigned to me, and our marriage, just like I have an assignment through our marriage. Like, our marriage has an assignment to fulfill God's work here in this earth.
It's a ministry.
And, so it wasn't about what I'm losing. It was really about what I'm gaining. And so what I saw once we started working together, I was like, whoa, I'm gaining a partner who values me, who sees me, who acknowledges me, who knows how to use my strengths, who knows how to communicate with me, who knows when I'm taking on way too much and can just say like, your bandwidth can't allow for that. Yeah. No one in my office was doing that. Yeah. My office folks, here, do this.
Take more.
No one was like really being so, you know, you try to keep PC in the office space, but He knows how to communicate to me with me the most. And for me, in these spaces that I valued so much, I was always looking, my value rested in how other what I could do for other people, my performance. I was very like performative. Mm-hmm. I needed to have all the credentials, the degrees, the things. But with us, it was so different. It's like, okay, like God has called us to work together for some reason. Yeah. And then He made it very clear shortly after that once He made our marriage go from good to like great and literally like so quickly because I was forced to communicate, to connect more, to become more intimate, to reveal my vulnerabilities to Troy. And from there was when we heard like, now you guys have a mission. You guys are supposed to help other couples realize that there is a value within both of you to work together, to be fruitful together, to glorify me, and to help your community. So it was a long answer to your question. I was anxious about what I
did,
but once I leaned in, I also learned that I gained so much. Yeah. And quite honestly, the things I lost were the things that that actually were the idols that I thought mattered so much. Mm-hmm. So I lost my title, but guess what title I have now?
Yeah.
Like one of the best titles ever, which I think is a child of God, is a servant leader, is a proud wife and partner, you know, and someone who is not afraid to spread the word. So I'll take those titles any day over like assistant principal of whatever, or you know what I'm saying? So
And what's going to be left? You know, I think about the parable of the servants and how they've built the homes. Like one built with straw, one built with, you know, and what's going to be left of, you know, our legacy? What's going to be left of our life when we're standing before the Lord one day? Is it going to be like, look at, you know, this career I had, look at all the money I made, look at all, no, it's going to be, you know, how did we walk out our faith? How did we love? You know, as a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a mother, those are the things that we can bring into eternity. Because at the end of the day, I saw something about this. The only things that we could bring into eternity with us are people.
Yeah.
It's people. That's it. Yeah. Nothing else.
Yeah.
And so what's more important than than the gospel and trying and doing everything we can in our life to not just present it in our marriage, you know, in the way we interact with each other, in the way we work with each other, in the way we raise our children, but then also that outward message from our home of like, you know, how speaking to our communities, our neighbors, our friends, the business associates, when we're doing business, as the Bible says, do everything as unto the Lord. Like whatever it is you put your hand to, do it as unto the Lord.
That was good, man. You think about, you just went this way. And before you went this way, you talked about in order to go up. And what we always say is like, we believe that in order to go up there, we have to go out here. God has called us to be in right relationship with him, to love deep and live wide with his people. And if we want to have that great relationship and we want to go into the kingdom of heaven and have those inherited treasures, kingdom treasures, it's going to be how we steward and how we love and live deep and live wide with his people here. That's what it's about. We are called to disciple and spread the good news and be fishers of men and point people to Jesus.
And not do it alone. Right? Like we were not sent to walk by one.
No, it's not good that man should be alone. Yeah.
How did he send out the disciples? Mm-hmm. He sent them out in pairs. We're not called to do this thing alone. We got, you know, in our spouses, those are our helpmates. We are each other's helpmates. And
God's smart in that way, huh? He knew we're not meant to be on islands.
We're not.
You know?
Yeah.
It sounds like the trending topic that I'm encouraged by it in your story. Because everyone's careers are going to look different. Everyone's, you know, incomes are going to look different. Everyone's accomplishments are going to look different. And all of those things should be viewed through the eyes of you and Christ. Like you kept going back to like, our identity is in Christ. Like I was able to do this because of my relationship with Christ. What we do now is we're trying to highlight Christ. And so at the end of the day, for my listeners, for us as believers, it's not about what you've done and accomplished in this world. It's about who you are in God, that in Jesus Christ, you are a son or a daughter of God, that you are redeemed, that you are made whole, that you are his. And through his Holy Spirit, all of the things that we now are able to do with our times, our talents, our resources, our stories, our experiences, as you guys have shared so generously, we get to use those things with open hands for the Lord. Say, okay, Lord, here's my life. Mm-hmm. Here's my career. Here's my business. Here's my entrepreneur spirit. Here's my finances. Here's my home. Here's my car. Here's my everything.
Everything.
And it's all wrapped up in Jesus Christ and the testimony of what he's doing in this world. And so I just wanted to highlight that for our listeners, because whether or not our stories look like Troy and Chantel's stories, we can have the same perspective they have. We can have the same perspective of it's about my relationship to Jesus and how we're just chasing after him and allowing him to work in our lives. And often, like you said yes to God in our book, The Marriage After God. We talk about this idea of like, it's all the little yeses that we say to God that build up into what we're doing for him. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, it didn't start off with all these things. Mm-hmm. It started off with, you said yes to this, and then you said yes to this, and then you said yes to this, and now you're here. And then, you know, who knows what the next yeses are going to transform your life and move you to. And that's the point, is that we say yes to God because God knows best, correct? Like this, he just knows best for us. And but most importantly, I love that the unity you guys have been growing in, that you, like, I love the story you shared of, you know, seeing Troy playing with your is it your son?
Yeah.
Yeah. And how you're like, wait a minute, something's missing here. Like I'm over here and he's over there. How can we be here together? And that's a big thing that marriages need to recognize, like whether or not they ever can have a crew together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That same thing can be recognized. Like, how do we be here together?
I'd love to speak to that a little bit, if you don't mind.
Cause you
that's
go for it.
Really where my heart feels led to speak to, just thinking about the people who might not feel called to necessarily work together. And one thing that we always say is, you know, if you got a great job, keep your job. We are not telling anyone quit your job to their 9-to-5s. Get your pensions, get all your stuff. But, you know, even creating something on the side, a side hustle, some kind of business can just deepen and enrich the intimacy in your marriage, because now you guys have something to do together, a project, a hobby that can diversify your financial portfolio. That could add.
Which is nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, which is nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, that's good.
Which could, you know, add to the financial part of your legacy and handing down a business. But more importantly than anything, the two of you have to come together to communicate, to strategize, to visioneer. Now your dates go from just like, hey, what'd you do at work today? To like, look at what we get to work together, right? So we get to be that triple braided cord. It gets to be me, her, Holy Spirit, and we are in agreement with God's will, working on something. And then what we also realize, because we do everything together, so as servant leaders in the church, that's also business. That's kingdom business. So for those that might not want to work together fully, what can you do in the church? Can you guys serve together? Can you both give your time to loving and being the hands and feet, being the body of the church, and loving on God's people together? You got to come together for that too, to strategize, to see how well you work together. And, you know, the beauty of working together, like she said, is when we have deadlines and we have things, we don't have time for ego, and we don't have time to just be all in our flesh and be prideful. But what happens is when we, because guess what? I want people to know this. When you work with your spouse, you will argue. Just the way in your marriage, you will argue.
No.
As long as you are married, you will argue. And there's nothing wrong with confrontation and arguing as long as it's healthy. And guess what? We argue. But you know what we've learned from working together? We've learned how to argue better. Mm-hmm. We're just more efficient.
Yeah.
We look at things now as the thing between us. So instead of me being at her and her being at me, we just look at like what is in between us right now and how do we attack that thing together to get it out of the way? You know what I mean? So like, these are some of the benefits of working with your spouse, whether that's in the marketplace or God has called you to do it in ministry. But we are called as husband and wife to be the salt and light of this world and this
together.
Earth. Together.
Yeah. Amen. Well, Troy and Chantel, that was a beautiful testimony to share with us, and just what God's doing in your life and has been doing and will continue to do. And I know he's doing the same for our listeners. Yeah. He's working in their lives. He's speaking to them. Because when we believe in Christ and we love him, his Holy Spirit's in us and he speaks to us and he guides us. And it's our job to practice listening, to get better at listening to that voice of God in our life. So is there anything you guys can share about where people can find you guys? It sounds like you had a book that came out. Maybe mention that one more time. I'll put all the links in the show notes as well. But where can everyone find you?
We'd love for everyone to come find us on Instagram. Mm-hmm. You can go to @WeAreSpartners and follow us there. You can go to our website, TroyandChantel.com, to learn about all of our services, book, all the things. We also have a marriage, a partnership readiness assessment that you can take.
Yep.
It's a free assessment that will help you identify if you are ready to actually go into business with each other or not. And then from there, you get a 30-day plan tailored to your answers that will help guide you on your next step to trying to build that relationship or that partnership. And then lastly, spartnersconnect.com. If you like to get bite-sized pieces of information or advice on how to enrich your marriage and or business relationship with each other. And
the Spartners podcast. We have a podcast on all major DSPs.
Oh, cool.
So we're on all the platforms.
And yeah, send me each
called,
of those.
Go ahead. And our book is called Spartners, Discover the Value in Your Spouse as a Business Partner, that we highly encourage you check out on our website, TroyandChantel.com.
Yes.
Yeah, again, send me all those links. I'll put them in my show notes for everyone to find you guys. Especially that 30-day, it's like a free download or something.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. Our audience loves free downloads.
Oh, perfect.
Real quick, Spartners is the combination of spouse and partner, right?
That's it. Spouse is a business partner.
There you go. Okay, Spartners. Yeah. Cool. Well,
it's so
Troy.
It's so good.
I like it. It reminds me of Spartans. It's like this, like, it's like tough.
Yeah.
Well, Troy and Chantel, thank you so much for being on our show. I pray that God continues to bless you guys and move in your marriage, and pray that you just transform marriages, because we need more marriages working together for Christ. And so that's what the Marriage After God podcast is about. That's what sounds like what you guys are about.
Yeah.
So praise God for you guys. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Do you desire to pray more for your spouse? Do you desire to pray more with your spouse? We understand that you may not know where to start, or maybe you feel uncomfortable praying, or maybe you don't know what to pray, or maybe you simply want to add something more to your current prayer life. This is why we wrote The Marriage Gift, 365 Prayers for Our Marriage. We desire that it would be used as a daily reminder and catalyst for you and your spouse to grow a dynamic and consistent prayer life together. This book is a compilation of 365 unique and powerful prayers that cover a range of diverse topics that every marriage deals with. You can read it alone, or ideally, you read it with your spouse. Also, we hope that the topics that are brought up in these prayers would become a starting point for deeper and more intimate conversations with your spouse and a desire to seek God on these matters together. Visit themarriagegift.com today and order your copy and give your marriage the greatest gift, powerful and meaningful prayer. Visit themarriagegift.com today.